My name is Emma Martin, and this is the Lazy Keto Mum Podcast. If you are looking for help with keto and low carb, you have come to the right place. We're going to talk about feast and famine. And feast being when we eat, and famine being when we don't. Simple as that. But I think we make it big in our brains. So I love this. Your body is not Amazon Prime. It takes more than 2 days to get what you want. And I think because we decide to start something, in our minds we're like, I want it now. But you have to remember, it took 30, 40, 50 years to get here. And some, even from when you were in utero, meaning when you were in your mum's tummy and your mum was eating the food pyramid, you developed a taste for sugar. You might have developed a little bit of, probably not insulin resistance, but you had a taste. So your taste buds were developing based on what your mum ate while she was pregnant. And when our mums drank, say, soft drink, not that there was heaps around back then, but that a lot of that was passed directly through to you. Not only that, if you weren't breastfed and you were fed on formula or you were fed on foods out of jars, the manufacturers, well, firstly, the fiber's missing, so your gut microbiome is different. But secondly, these baby foods in jars have a lot of sugar in them. And you get a taste for it until, like, right up until you're, 6 months old, you're developing your taste buds. Well, further on than that, but that's when a lot of the developmental stage is. So now at 6 months old, you have a taste for sugar, which means that when you are offered broccoli or real food, it doesn't taste what you think is tasty, even back then. So we have to give ourselves time to undo a lot of stuff. And you must give yourself the grace for that. It's okay that you're not getting there straight away. This is like, it's a lifetime type journey. So don't get all scared. You just have to understand that it does take time to undo. I also, at this point, wanted to reiterate to you that the measurements and the pant size is super important, because as we've learned, the scales lie. Especially as the weather warms up, we will naturally hold on to more water because we need it to process glycogen. And where do we get glycogen from? Fruits and berries, which is what is prevalent this time of year. It's summer. This is when all this food comes into season that we love, and your body needs water to process the glucose. So we're going to hang on biologically. Your body is still a caveman. So give it the time and grace it needs to do what it needs to do. And when you take measurements, rather than rely on those stupid scales that somebody designed and thought it was a great idea to measure body mass index on, know that that's not the best benchmark, and they're sabotaging you. Because when you stand on those scales and you don't see what you want to see, you go into fight and flight and you activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which thinks you've got to fight the saber-toothed tiger. Not good. When you have to fight the saber-toothed tiger, you release cortisol, you release adrenaline, and you release blood glucose. And when you don't use it, guess what it's stored as? Yeah, fat. Just saying. Now, I did accidentally send you an email that said about sugar, but I haven't quite finished with sugar yet. This is an old photograph of a diabetic, and she's a type 1 diabetic. You can see that before insulin on the left, she's pretty skin and bones. 4 months later, after being given insulin, and this is when insulin was first isolated as a hormone that could be given to people with type 1 diabetes, you can see she's put on a lot of weight in her face. She looks healthier and fuller. And that's exactly what happens to us when our body is making insulin. And this is, you know, this is not us, or this is not, well, there's a couple of type 1 diabetics on this, but when you have raised insulin and raised blood sugar, you can see what insulin actually does. So that back on our insulin cycle. So how does insulin actually work? Well, basically we have these cells, and our cells, we have a lot of them, trillions of them. They all work pretty much the same way. Inside or on the outside of the cell, we have an insulin receptor, and it's like a PowerPoint. When we have insulin in our, or blood sugar in our blood, the insulin is released and it clears all the blood sugar and it stuffs it down. So it's like a key in a lock. It opens the cell. But not only that, is when you've got raised blood sugar, raised insulin, it locks it back in so you can't burn what you were storing. And that is so that we survived. When you lower blood sugar and you lower insulin, you have what's called keto adaptation. And that happens at about this time once you start to follow a keto or a low carb diet. So sort of in the 2 to 3 week mark, you might start feeling better. You might start being less hungry. If you are still having sugar cravings, you probably need to up your fats or your proteins. And you probably, if you're still having soft drinks, that might be something to look at getting rid of, maybe Coke Zero, Pepsi Max, maybe replace that out with sparkling water, squeeze of lemon or lime. The lemon and lime will actually really help your gut microbiome and your acidity / alkalinity of your gut as well. You might like to look at more leafy greens and having them with, so the fiber in those, and having them with plenty of, say, pink salt and healthy fats. Because that ships the minerals and the vitamins around. So it's like semi-trailers going through your body, and it delivers nutrients to your cells without spiking the blood sugar. So there's some keys for you as well. So when you talk about fasting, a lot of people kind of freak out a bit because they're kind of like, oh my God, it's, you know, I'm going to be starving myself. But it's what our ancestors did. They had times of plenty where they ate and ate and ate and ate and ate and stored and stored and stored. And they had times of scarcity. So they might just be able to find, I don't know, rodents or yams or whatever in the winter. And they would have times of scarcity where they would burn their stored body fat. And that was seasonal. Basically, they would often, not only if they were nomadic, they'd follow the food around, but they would have to find food in different ways. And that was very energy or calorically costly. If they might have been climbing trees or fishing or whatever, but now we hunt our food in punnets or in the freezer section or in the fridge section. That's how we hunt our food. So if you think about it, we're not even expending the energy or the hormones or the anything to go and get our food. I will talk in the next call about eat less and move more and why that's flawed and the relationship between what happens when we put food in and between it coming out. But just know that portions right now, they're not that important. The type of food matters more than the food. And I'm going to encourage you to be eating real fresh food. Meats and proteins and fish and good quality fats, above the ground vegetables, because that's where your fullness, your nutrients, etc., come from. So fasting comes around, is really linked into a lot of beliefs. And if you look at most religions or most old cultures, there's some form of fasting in there. Lent, Ramadan. Most cultures have a fasting week, day, whatever. Some of them fast all day and they'll eat at night. So it's not a new thing. It's just in our times of plenty where we've been told that we need 5 meals a day or 3 meals a day plus snacks, we're worried about starving. You are not starving. You have 3 months' worth of food on your back veranda underneath your belt. I had a few months worth on my front. And that's okay, but that's what it's there for. That's our portable energy source. This is Barney and his wife, and they're from the UK. And Barney used a combination, so you can see the massive transformation here. He used a combination of keto, ketones, and intermittent fasting. And he was down to one meal a day, and I'll explain that. But what's happened is he's melted through his liver fat, he's melted through his belly fat, and now he's at a healthy weight. And he did that using a combination of what I'm going to talk about tonight. Not only melting belly fat is a benefit of fasting. When I say fasting, I mean just not eating. Fasting helps your brain clean itself up. It helps your eyesight. It helps your cognition. It helps your sleep. It helps your hormones. If you think about it, your brain is like a big filing cabinet. And during the day, it just stuffs things in. At night when you're sleeping, it starts to file things where they need to be, and it cleans things up, and it will defrag like our old computers used to defrag. Do you remember the old Windows computers? They would you'd run a defrag. That's what our brain needs to do. But when you are continuously feeding it glucose and it's running on glycogen, it can't do that. When we eat processed foods all the time, you are putting free radicals into your brain and it cannot clean up the pathways. And so you end up with fog and kind of, you know, mood issues, et cetera, et cetera. So fasting is terrifically good for your brain. Also, after a period of time, and I'll explain this, your body starts to accumulate junky bits. So I touched on this last week. It's kind of like a scrap heap. What happens is, because you're always feeding your body, feeding, it can't clean up the cancerous cells or the defective cells that lead to cancer. Your digestion never rests. So your gut microbiome is always working. Like your gut microbiome, you have trillions of bacteria in your gut. When you feed them sugar and processed foods, not only do they want more of that, because that's what they're living off, but you're also feeding defective and junky cancer cells, and that leads to tumor growth, da-da-da-da-da. That's a whole other kettle of fish. That's funny. Fish is really good for you. Omega-3. Fish is great. And omega-3s are a very, very, very important part of a healthy brain. But we're going to talk about autophagy tonight. So what they told you to do basically was eat breakfast, most important meal of the day. Do you know where that came from? Came from Dr. Kellogg's. Yes, that's why we believe that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. But going back hundreds of years, the only people that ate early were the workers in the fields because they might not get to eat until much later on in the day, till they went home again at night. But Kellogg's decided that we needed to eat cereal first thing in the morning. What happens is when you eat cereal, you have it with milk, you might put some sugar on it, you might have a, you know, Nutella on toast. Whee, you've got this blood sugar spike. Oh, eat the banana. Yeah, not a good idea. Blood sugar spike. So your liver, your body is working really hard, your pancreas releases insulin, clear it away, and now we've got this downward dive where you get low blood sugar and now you're craving. Give me some more, give me some more. So, and you are literally powerless. So firstly, if you are snacking between meals, I'm going to suggest that you don't. The first thing you can do is cut out your breakfast. Now, I still have coffee with cream. I've been doing that for 4 years, not dead yet. Coffee with cream, those of you, some of you won't like coffee, but if you're having tea, switch over to cream in your tea, just a dash. You've got a healthy fat there. And we've learned that healthy fat turns on leptin, and leptin is our satiety hormone. So if you're hungry first thing in the morning, not only is it because that's what happens with your body, it's raising ghrelin, which is our hunger hormone, but your body's going, oh, I need energy. Where's that going to come from? And if you haven't flicked over into ketosis properly, your body will be looking for toast and cereal. So by giving it healthy fat, it can go longer without a big, big meal, and you give it time to get into keto adaptation. So when you restrict your carbs or your refined carbohydrates, I'm not talking about cabbage, broccoli, leafy greens, the glycogen from your starchy carbs, it runs out. Now, it can take some time to do that. And what happens is the body or the liver is producing ketones, fatty acids. So the first thing it does is it cleans out your liver. So if you've been diagnosed with fatty liver, this is terrifically good because you can clean that up really fast just by not eating or taking away all your refined carbohydrates. And I mean all of them, anything that can be turned into sugar. So your fatty acids are broken down from the muscle, pulled out of the muscle, and basically it will want to refuel that, so it'll send you off craving. Ketones are made and they are burned as a fuel source, but the actual muscle is preserved. How cool is that? As we age, we lose muscle mass, which stops us from catching ourselves when we trip over. So ketosis or keto is muscle sparing. That's great because it means you don't have the likelihood of having a fall. Very, very important as we age. So autophagy literally means to eat yourself. So auto meaning self. And the rest is self-eating, autophagy, phagy, autophagy, phagy meaning eating. So we are literally eating ourselves. So let's look at the timeline of that. 4 to 8 hours, your blood sugar's dropping. You start to actually get hungry about that time. But if you can ride that and you can get to, say, 12 hours, so if you stopped eating at, say, 6, by 6 o'clock in the morning, you'd be building and releasing human growth hormone. That's the repair phase. That's the where it starts fixing things it needs to fix. It's cleaning up your brain. Most of us do that naturally. We'll have dinner at 7 and then breakfast at 7 o'clock. However, if you can push that out to midday, you are now burning your own bits. And this is one of the fastest ways to ramp up fat loss. When you are fasting, the only thing that breaks a fast, there's a lot of talk around this, is anything that rises your blood sugar. If you eat a punnet of strawberries first thing in the morning, you will spike your blood sugar. If you have some toast, you've just spiked your blood sugar. You are now out of fasting and autophagy. But things that don't spike your blood sugar do not break your fast. Cool. So at 16 hours, you start burning your fat. At 18 to 20 hours, so let's say you ate at 6, you went all the way through to 6, and let's say you made it to, I don't know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot of you are sort of looking a bit scared right now. Promise you it's possible. We don't need to eat as much as we eat. At 18 to 20 hours, autophagy begins. Autophagy is where you literally start to recycle your junky cells. So cool. The body knows what it's doing. It recycles your crap cells as new cells. And at that point, after a full day of not eating, you actually start to make new stem cells, which can be turned into anything. Stem cells are baby cells that the body can just send around and go, well, you know what, make a bit of brain, make her some new skin, make him some new muscle. Super cool. So 36 hours, so a day and a half of fasting, your autophagy literally triples. You are cleaning yourself up. And we heard about this at Low Carb Down Under, and they're literally starving cancer, doing 3, 4, 5 day fasts, where you're cleaning up all your junky cells. So it's a bit like the car you see on the side of the road. That's what happens in our body. But because we're continually refeeding, the body doesn't get a chance to do anything with it because it's doing other stuff. It's got to prioritize incoming glucose and glycogen. So it goes, all right, well, that's not really important right now. What's important is storing this blood sugar. So it's all about blood sugar and it's all about insulin. Everything is to do with those two things. Anytime you spike blood sugar, you spike insulin. Anytime you spike insulin, You cannot burn your own fat as a fuel source, and you cannot recycle your junky and defective cells. So if you want to age backwards, put some fasting in. So at 2 days, you now have human growth hormone and repair times five. This stuff, like, I mean, I know 2 days seems ridiculous, right? But at this point, you are a self-eating machine. You can literally melt 2, 3, 4, 5 centimeters off your belly by throwing in fasting. And then at 3 days, your autophagy peaks. And it doesn't get much higher after that. And then when you refuel with good quality protein. Might be eggs. It might be avocado, spinach, good quality, real food. Okay, so let's have a look at the different kinds of fasting. Different kinds of fasting. So 16-8 just means 16 hours of not eating, 8 hours of eating. So that's what we say you would be maybe have dinner at 6 o'clock and then you wouldn't eat again until midday. At that point, you're going to be getting some pretty major benefits. So maybe if you haven't done any fasting before, just push it out like a half an hour or an hour each day and see if you just can go that little bit extra. At this point, you might want to supplement with a little bit of pink salt or some good quality electrolytes. You might maybe have a boiled egg, which is not going to raise your blood sugar significantly. If you're hungry at this point, it means you're not fully keto adapted yet and you've either still got some insulin resistance or your cells haven't worked out what to replace it with, so they haven't worked out how to completely use ketones yet, or your habit is so strong that it'll take some, I want to say willpower, but some fat power to change that path because we're creatures of habit. So 18-6 means 18 hours of not eating, which I would have thought was impossible 4 years ago. And then 6 hours of eating, 20 hours, 24, you'll hear people talk about 20 hours of not eating. So that would mean you were eating at 4, or maybe you might eat at 3 and you would stop eating at, say, you would compact your meals into that 4 hour eating window. That's kind of my day every day. There are times I'm hungrier. And particularly for females, we have a lot more hormones going haywire than you guys. You guys have got different kinds of hormones, but with female hormones, as I'm sure you boys can attest to, they go a little bit haywire every now and again. So, you know, us poor old females are dealing with these woo, crazy, you know, mood swings and whatever. The good news is, girls, you can improve this. The good news, boys, is they can improve this and your life can get easier too. The more you go without eating, the more jobs inside your body can do. Hopefully that is ringing and resonating with you. If you can't fast yet, don't panic. It takes time. OMAD stands for one meal a day, which seems a bit scary, right? But if you are eating very good quality food at that point, you won't actually be hungry at the other end because you've taught your body what to do. Then you could put in some 2 or 3 day fasts. Often our community does a reboot, which is a 60 hour fast. And sometimes you can push that out a bit longer. Cool. So if you want information on Reboot, it's basically a ketone-supported fast. They bribed me to do my first one. I was the one sending them pictures of food because I'm like, who would do anything stupid like that? But I tell you what, day one, so the ketones cut your cravings. They're very marvelous like that. Day one, you're going, oh, my God, what did I even sign up for? Day two, you're like, wow, where's this energy come from? OMG, I've never felt this before. Like you literally wake up bouncing out of bed and not hungry because you've kicked in autophagy, you've kicked in fat burning, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm a machine. And the sense of achievement, if you can complete that, is out of this world because you learn that you're not stuck to food. You learn that you're not so reliant on food. So I would like to encourage you to just go a little bit further than where you've been. Maybe just skip breakfast for a day and eat at, I don't know, morning tea. or lunch. And then maybe do that again the next day and then push it out that little bit more. If you're getting to 11 o'clock in the morning, push it out to 11:30, drink lots of water, have some pink salt. And worst case scenario, a boiled egg, cream cheese, any of your healthy fats, half an avocado might be a bit too much, but it's better than what we've traditionally done. Okay, awesome, guys. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you guys in a few days' time. Make sure you book a call if you need one. Okay? See you guys. Bye.